back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. We do have the streamies tonight. I did a tweet, hashtag TYT for streamies, which is what we're asking you guys to do. And I said, you know, if you retweet this, you'll help us become the best show on the internet or win that award. And what I'm hoping for is for you guys to do it, of course, but also for the trolls to accidentally reply to it, and that'll count as a vote.
Don't tell them. Come on.
Voting's almost over, so keep going, keep going, keep going. All right, a couple of quick tweets for you guys, not related to that. Adrian Ginn says, I'm concerned this is becoming an anti-Trump thing rather than inequality and brutality of the law on minorities. Well, Adrian, I think you're very largely right about that, but it's at least getting more attention to it, and some percentage of Americans are going, wait, why are they taking a knee?
Yeah.
Which is a question they weren't asking before, so it's a good thing. Old Turk writes in, Trump, I have plenty of time on my hands, all I do is work. Analyze that, it won't take long. Yes, indeed, it's not that complicated. Your mama says, I don't think people understand how disastrous it is to live for days on end without power. Stop and imagine it for a moment. No power means no refrigeration, no water treatment plant operations.
Can't charge your phone.
No power for medical equipment, no lights, no nothing. I mean, that has got to be incredibly frightening. One other thing about that, guys, and we're going to talk about it in a second, but people can't get in touch with their loved ones in different parts of the island, and they can't drive to it either. So they have no idea if they're okay or not.
Yeah, and look, I just brought up they can't charge their phones, and that sounds frivolous, but remember, their power grid is completely knocked out, which means that their landlines aren't working, and the only way that they can maybe communicate is if they can use their cell phones in a specific location and get the reception necessary to reach out to people. So
to find out if their family and loved ones are okay or not, and to vote for the Young Turks at hashtag TYT for streams.
What?
I'm just kidding. Is that that's inappropriate, right? That's inappropriate. Okay, all right. Speaking of inappropriate, that leads us to the first story.
Yes, all right. CNN has been speaking to Trump voters ever since he's been elected. And I love these panels that they do with the voters because it kind of gauges where they're at in regard to their support for Trump. Have they lost their support for Trump considering all of the different scandals he's been involved in, the infighting, the drama on Twitter? Well, Allison Camerota is usually the CNN reporter who speaks to them. And she wanted to know whether or not the latest kerfuffle involving the NFL impacted their support. Take a look at what they had to say.
How many of you are feeling just as positively today about Donald Trump as you were on election day? Two of you. How many of you are having some second thoughts or reservations or regret your vote? Three of you. Okay, so Jordan, what was the moment that you started regretting your vote?
A lot of it had to do with his choices for cabinet officials. I'm a high school teacher. His choice for the Secretary of Education is completely unacceptable to me and most of my colleagues.
Why? What's the problem with Betsy DeVos?
Inexperienced. She now is in charge of public education. She doesn't seem to believe in it. And that was a very big detriment to me.
Peyton, what was the moment that you started having second thoughts?
He's a businessman. I thought he could get the deals done. And once I started seeing that he was too busy tweeting or not really understanding the kind of way Congress and politics really works, I was a little disappointed.
What did you think he could pull off?
I was hoping for his travel ban to kind of go through and not be so divisive. I was hoping for a health care repeal and replace.
Mark, how about you?
I think it was the day after Inauguration Day.
Wow.
But yeah, so just to elaborate on that very last answer, he was annoyed with Trump over the whole crowd sizes issue. He thought that it was ridiculous and petty, and he wanted him to focus on more important things like, you know, the stuff he promised when he campaigned.
Yeah, so look, these guys, as you can tell in their answers, want him to do the things that he promised. We don't agree with them. They're Trump voters. I don't want the Muslim ban. I don't want the repeal and replace, but they do. But they're starting to get annoyed with him. By the way, you think, CNN, fake news, blah, blah. No, no, they have these panels. This is the first time that I've ever seen a majority flip, or even really a significant minority. One panel that was done recently, it wasn't CNN to be fair, it was another group. It was 25 for 25. They all were still supporting Trump.
Right.
They had not turned at all. And most of the CNN panels, no one had turned. This one, finally, 3 out of 5 have turned.
Yeah, they've turned. And I think it's because enough time has gone by where they're realizing, okay, there are no legislative wins. And at the same time, things have become more divisive. Politics has become more polarized. And it's discouraging. So it's, look, it's, I'm happy that people are at least aware and they're waking up and they're not just blindly supporting him because they voted for him. Now, this isn't a representative sample, obviously, but it still kind of gives you an idea of what some of his supporters are thinking.
Let me just, before we go to the next one, just a quick, couple of quick notes. And you see the variety of reasons why they're turning. And so I think the first guy is probably a little bit of an outlier, but we've covered cases like that before. They didn't really realize that he was actually going to do the things that he said, some portion of his voters. So we cover the story of the guys down on the border who were all voted for Trump in Texas, and they're like, oh, but he's gonna build a wall right through my property. Well, that sucks. Of course, didn't you hear any of the things that he said? And so, and then the guys who had their friend and neighbor deported in the middle of the country, and they're like, well, I didn't know he was gonna deport the good guys. I thought he was gonna do the bad hombres. In this case, he's like, oh, he really meant it when he said he is going to cut public education. And he did, and he put somebody in charge. So that's him delivering on his bad promises, mm-hmm. right? That they thought, no, don't take him seriously, don't take him literally. But I think the most of it is guys realizing what we were saying all along, but their job is not politics or to do a show. So they weren't knee deep in it. They just saw, hey, that guy's talking like a real human being versus the other one that's talking like a robot in the establishment and a regular politician I can't stand. So what they missed was his incompetence. That's why I did the Loser Donald segment. That's why I did 100 different stories literally before the election to tell you how incompetent he is. I didn't talk about what a bad guy he was. I talked about what a loser he is. And now that's his supporters going, I didn't know he wasn't gonna get anything accomplished.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, in the next video, they specifically address Donald Trump's tweets to NFL players who refused to stand during the national anthem.
How many of you are comfortable with the president weighing in on what's happening during the national anthem and some players taking a knee? Are you happy that the president talked about it this weekend or tweeted about it? Nobody's happy that the president weighed in.
I think that these players have the First Amendment right to kneel during the national anthem or sit out. And it's just an argument that really didn't need to be picked. And now it's what everybody's talking about when there are so many other things that we could be talking about, like the hurricane in Puerto Rico.
So why is President Trump weighing in on this?
I think it's because he loves America. I don't like the disrespect that these players are showing. But on the other hand, as my husband and I both say, we may not like it, but my husband served 21 years. My brother-in-law died in service to guarantee both the NFL players' rights to free speech and the president's right of free speech.
I'm a son of and a grandson of veterans, and I was always taught that I might not like what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. And that's what the First Amendment's about, and that's what this country's about.
Oh my God, that made me feel so good.
Yeah, you see that?
So
there's
much
hope.
Respect for Kathy Gibson, especially, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't have to like it, but you're right. I mean, that's what our soldiers fight for, to maintain democracy and freedom in this country. And that's what they're doing. They're practicing their First Amendment rights. Having the president urge NFL owners or team owners to fire them is crazy.
Yeah, so look, for the Peyton, the guy on the left side, remember he was the one that's in favor of the travel, what he calls a travel ban, which is in reality a Muslim ban. It's not like he didn't sign on for discriminatory policies, but he's not like Trump, where Trump is actively racist, and that's the whole point. Whether it's the travel ban or attacking black players for being against police brutality, etc. Peyton's like, well, I mean, I don't get it. They're Americans. They do get to have their opinion, right? So even if some people might be in favor of discriminatory policies I don't agree with, still their heart might not be in the wrong place. And we have to keep an open mind about that too.
Right.
Or they're certainly not anywhere near where Donald Trump is in terms of actively disliking these different groups and working against them.
Absolutely. And just one comment in regards to the guy that you were talking about who's in favor of the Muslim ban. You know, I got to give him credit for bringing up the issue of Puerto Rico because, you know, and this is my bad, this is my fault, my bias, but I would have just assumed that Trump voters don't care about Puerto Rico. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so to hear someone who voted for Trump and who supported Trump say that, it just shows you, you know, the human side that, you know, oftentimes in the media does get dehumanized. Because of some of the more hateful rhetoric that they've supported from Trump, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, he said in another part of the interview that he didn't understand why Trump was more eager to attack the black NFL players than neo-Nazis.
Yeah,
that's a great point. It's a great point. And when Allison Camerota asked, "Why do you think that is?" he said, "Quote: I wish I knew. It completely baffles me." And then Mark O'Brien, one of the guys you just saw there, said about him talking about the NFL instead of criticizing neo-Nazis, he says, that is a huge concern of mine. What is going on in that man's mind? So this is really heartening because more so than, hey, we're going to get him politically and all that talk. No, no, no. It's encouraging to see that yes, still at the end of the day, some Republican voters, unlike Trump, do understand the point of the country. They do understand that we can disagree, but still respect the freedom of speech and respect other races.
Absolutely.
And be unified against things like neo-Nazis. Of course that should be the case. But with Trump, you know, when after Charlottesville, it's like, I mean, there are good people on both sides. He hasn't even said that there are good people on both sides of the kneeling issue.
Yeah.
He just calls them sons of bitches and says they should be fired.
It's crazy.
It is absolutely nuts. And it's good to see that really conservative Americans are saying, hey, we get it. We know what this country is about. And it is diversity of opinion and we're all allowed to have our opinions. And it's weird that the president doesn't understand that.
All right, moving on to other news. There's been quite a bit of backlash against NFL players who protested Donald Trump's statements on Twitter in regard to those who refused to stand during the national anthem. Now, one example of that was when Patriots players decided to kneel instead of stand after Trump's tweets. These are players who just stood for the most of the time and then realized, okay, well, we need to unite and we need to support those who want to kneel. Well, Stephen Pena, who is a public official in Brockton, Massachusetts, said some pretty negative things about Patriot players who joined in on the protest. Now, he's with the Parks and Recreation Commission, and he left a comment on a Facebook story about kneeling Patriot players in which he referred to them as turds for taking a knee during the national anthem. But it gets worse. He says, turds, your dumbass isn't paid to think about politics. Dance, monkey, dance. Again, this is a public official, right? In Brockton, Massachusetts, he's with Parks and Recreation. He got quite a bit of backlash after he made those statements on a public forum online. And so he just wants to make sure he clarifies what he meant by monkey. He didn't mean for it to be racist. He says it was not meant to be a racist comment. And if it was taken as such, that's regrettable.
Okay, so look, there is a small percentage chance that this guy is totally clueless and doesn't know that that is a derogatory comment aimed at African Americans a great majority of the time. But even if we grant him that, which I don't, I think it's a small chance that he made an honest mistake. Even if you were to grant him that, though. So your thing is, okay, so if you are an entertainer of any sort, you're my monkey. And so you're, unlike other Americans like plumbers and guys who take care of parks, you're not allowed to have an opinion. And you're not allowed to be concerned that maybe your kids are gonna get shot when they're unarmed, like it happened to Tamir Rice in Cleveland. You're not allowed to participate in the process because you're there for the entertainment of this Stephen Pena guy,
right?
And so you're supposed to dance for him like a monkey. So it's such an asshole thing to say, any way you slice it.
I just feel like you know, the people who are up in arms and make these types of statements online just fundamentally misunderstand what this country is supposed to be about, right? Political activism, political discourse, I mean, that is the heart of democracy, making sure that people feel free to speak their mind and say what they need to say about a particular political issue. They don't want that. They want to shut them up. So are you not in favor of free speech? Are you not in favor of a democratic system where people are able to take part in voting, in voicing their opinions, in engaging in this type of rhetoric? It's crazy to me.
And if you didn't know that the great majority of the athletes doing it are black, and that that's a derogatory thing to say about blacks, and then that might get you in trouble, you also haven't shown very good judgment as a public official. But wait, it's about to get much worse, not for him, but for the next guy.
Yes, okay. So then there's the issue of a volunteer fire chief in Pittsburgh. He was upset because of the Steelers protesting. Now, the Steelers did something a little different from the Patriots. They decided to stay in the tunnel during the national anthem instead of coming out and standing during the national anthem. And so Paul Smith, who is a volunteer firefighter at the Cecil Volunteer Fire Station number 2, posted a derogatory response on Facebook, which was directed at Mike Tomlin. He's the head coach, and he used a racial slur. So I'm not gonna say the racial slur, you guys know what it is, but I will read you his comment. He says, Tomlin just added himself to the list of no good N-words. Yes, I said it. So he seemed pretty proud of his statement there, thought it was bold.
So let's pause there for a second before his eventual backpedal, so he, you know, he doesn't get himself in trouble. And no good N-word. No lack of clarity here. Okay, I know that, like, no matter what anybody says, people are always like, but maybe they, no, but maybe it wasn't racist.
I mean, that was as clear as you can possibly get. There's no way to spin that.
Yeah, and so. Remember that the players are protesting in the first place because they're treated as less than equal. And part of the idea here is Black Lives Matter. So here's a guy saying, oh yeah, you're a no good N-word. So thereby validating the idea that some people think that your life isn't equal.
Exactly.
And so there's just no lack of clarity. But the second part that's amazing is, he's a fire chief, he's a public guy, he says this publicly on Facebook and feels emboldened to say it. Like, it's okay, I can come out of the closet now. And he adds, yes, I said it, take that, you N-words. Now, I mean, what are we supposed to do here? Are we supposed to have understanding for them? It's crazy. So, I mean, what if they're going into a situation where there's a fire in an African American's house? Is he not going to want to rescue them because there are no good N-words?
That's right. So that's, you know, look, the reason why these stories matter, and it's not random private citizens. These are public officials. In this case, we're talking about a fire chief. And if he perceives a certain group of people as less than, as not as important, as not as valuable to society, then does that impact the way he does his job? You know, and you're talking about people's lives here, and that's the reason why it really stood out to me. And it, again, it was so clear. What he said was clear. There wasn't any, you know, he can't use the same excuse that the initial person that we talked about used, where it's like, oh, I didn't know that monkeys was a negative way to refer to black people. In this case, you know the N-word is not the way that you should refer to black people. You know that that's offensive, beyond offensive.
Yeah, and before we get to his non-apology, he's a fire chief, so whether he does it consciously or maybe just subconsciously, is he less likely to send people into harm's way into a fire, which is their job,
right?
Which is an amazing job, by the way. And my nephew is a volunteer firefighter too, and it's a hell of a job. But is he maybe gonna take less of a chance if it's an African American household as opposed to a white household? Well, if he thinks that you're not equal, maybe. And then if your kids die because of, no, we can't have that. That's crazy. So now his non-apology.
He says, I am embarrassed at this. I want to apologize. I was frustrated and angry at the Steelers not standing the anthem. This had nothing to do with my fire department. I regret what I said. But here's the thing. There have been countless times where I've been angry, let's say at a story that we're covering. And my initial reaction isn't to talk about their race or say something disparaging about their ethnicity, their race, their background. Have I said offensive things about certain people? Absolutely. But my mind just doesn't go there. The fact that his mind immediately went to no good N-word, I mean, there's no excuse for that.
Yeah. So there's a thousand ways to attack people, and we would know. But attacking them based on their race makes no sense at all. So, and look, here, he says, I regret what I said. Well, hey, Cenk, is that an apology? No, it just means I regret I got in trouble for it. Remember, his original comment was, yeah, I said it.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, oh, I regret what I said because he's embarrassed by it. And then but the thing that annoyed me the most was, this had nothing to do with my fire department. Yeah, we know that. We're not putting it on your fire department.
We're putting it on you as the fire chief, who probably shouldn't be a fire chief.
You know why he's saying that? Because he's hiding behind the fire department. Mm-hmm. Nobody was criticizing your fire department. We were criticizing you. So when you say, I don't want this to be on the fire department, in other words, remember, I'm with the fire department, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's not fair to blame them. Well, nobody's doing that, so problem solved, okay? So yes, these guys exist, man. And if you're not black, you could be outraged by it, and we're outraged by it, and that shows that you have empathy, and God bless your heart. But even if you're in that category or not in that category, just think for a second, if you are black in this country, and you know a certain percentage of the police chiefs and the fire chiefs and the guys who, you know, drive ambulances, and the list goes on and on, don't think that you're equal to other people, and they think that your life doesn't matter as much.
But don't complain about it. Okay, don't protest in the streets. That would be inconvenient for people. And don't be peaceful in your protest either, where you just kneel during the national anthem. Just don't complain. You're not allowed to.
Yeah,
that's their take.
I even hesitate talking about it to some degree because I feel that it's so depressing. But look, the way that we're gonna get past it is to talk about it and to tackle this and to solve this as a country together. Because it is unacceptable for a certain percentage of Americans to think, I might not get rescued because of what that guy thinks about my whole race. That is very, very unfortunate, and unfortunately true for a percentage of Americans. But let's all get better together, and the way you do it is first recognize the problem. And thank God for Colin Kaepernick, because he helped to highlight this issue, which leads to more people recognizing the problem. Unfortunately, these guys and Donald Trump, our president, are not among the people who recognize it. But at least I think a majority of Americans do, and at least now a majority of the NFL does. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, we've got a lot more stories for you guys, including cops who are being reprimanded for being against cop brutality. Okay, when we return. Back on AI Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Joshua Capo Beta writes in, Anna is bae every single day.
Oh my God, I love you. Thank you.
That's very nice. John Connor writes in, I'm thinking Anna Kasparian's dressed for a later function. Hashtag good luck TYT, hashtag TYT for streamies.
Yes, I am. A lot of people are commenting on my hair. Thank you for the nice comments, but don't get used to it because this took way too much time to do. Someone was like, oh, Anna's hairstylist needs a raise. Which means me.
All right. Yes. Well, we do many jobs at once here. We are going to go. Like I said earlier in the show, we're going to present for Storyteller of the Year, which is kind of cool. I'm not sure I've ever presented for an award before.
Neither have I.
And then we're up for Show of the Year. Hashtag TYT for streamies. Voting still going on. And that's how you vote, through Twitter, by doing hashtag TYT for streamies. Okay. Member shout outs, David Stowe and Kimberly Ann Cunningham. Thank you guys, we appreciate it. You get the whole show, of course, ad-free. If you're a member, tytnetwork.com/join. And today, since we got to run to the streamies, Steve and Dave are gonna give you an extra postgame, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is awesome. All right, what's next, Casper?
All right. Two police officers in Chicago have been officially reprimanded after a photo featuring them went viral online. Now, in the photo, they are shown kneeling in solidarity with NFL players who also kneel during the national anthem. And this whole story came about when an activist approached them and asked if they supported people like Colin Kaepernick. So the officers were approached by an activist named Arlita Clark, who asked the two officers whether they were opposed to police brutality and racism. They responded in the affirmative, knelt down in solidarity with Clark, Kaepernick, and the broader message. So that was what you saw in that photo. It was posted on Instagram, went viral, and for the most part got a lot of support. But after enough people saw it, of course there are going to be some who are opposed to it. And the police department was notified of the image, and they released a statement indicating that these police officers would be reprimanded. Now, I also want to be clear that the department does have a pretty strict policy when it comes to partisan political speech while on duty. They are obviously in uniform and they made a political statement. And so that's the reason that the department is giving for reprimanding them. Department members are prohibited from participating in any partisan political campaign or activity while on duty, including but not limited to distributing campaign literature or wearing or displaying political paraphernalia. Now, the official statement from the department is as follows. We are aware of the photo and we will address it in the same way we have handled previous incidents in which officers have made political statements while in uniform, with a reprimand and a reminder of department policies.
Okay, so I'm a little split on this. I mean, I get it, they have a policy.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's a reprimand and a reminder of department policies.
Yeah.
They'll live. They'll
I know.
Be okay.
Some people are mistaking that as these officers getting fired. They're not getting fired. Yeah.
Okay. Now, on the other hand, they're not really doing political paraphernalia. It's not like they're saying vote for Bob or Susie or Republican or Democrat. It easily could have been interpreted as not a political statement. And then think about what the statement is. It's against police brutality and their police. I hope that all the cops agree that they're against police brutality. So if that's against your guidelines to be in favor of, to be against police brutality, then I'm a little worried about your guidelines. It's super easy to say that's not a political statement. Of course, we're all against police brutality.
Yes, look, I hate zero tolerance policies. I think that, you know, once you put out a zero tolerance policy in regard to political speech, and you know, you're talking about public officials putting forth a policy that squashes political speech. I mean, I don't know if you can have a debate about whether or not this is protected by the First Amendment. I get the idea though that, hey, we need to have a policy in place because we might have some police officers who say things that lead to the community further distrusting them, right? Yeah. And so we've had a number of stories where police have said things that were horrible toward the black community or those who have been protesting. And that unfortunately, not unfortunately, understandably leads to the community not trusting them. However, like in this case, I feel like this is something that should be protected, right? It seems like the only time cops get reprimanded or face a punishment is when they criticize other cops or call out other cops. And I think right now, more than ever, we need the good cops to come forward and be like, you know what? No, we're not going to stand for this. All of these, you know, murders against people who are unarmed, we're not going to stand for this. We got to change the policing. We got to change the training. That's what we've been asking for. And now finally, we have these two cops who made a mild statement by kneeling in a photo and, you know, they get reprimanded.
So, look, I totally agree with the policy overall. I don't want a cop showing up in a MAGA hat, right? I also don't want a cop showing up with a I'm with her sticker, okay? Or even a Bernie So Punk t-shirt, which you could get at shoptyt.com. But because what if, you know, some people are made uncomfortable? They weren't with her. Or, you know, it's a very wealthy person's house and they wrongly are made uncomfortable by Bernie Sanders and they're not sure the cop is on their side. We can't have it. I totally agree that you should leave politics out of it. But Kaepernick taking a knee and doing, you know, raising their fist and all the players now doing it and even some of the NFL owners doing it are not saying we're against cops. They're not saying we're against any race, certainly, right? They're saying we want to make sure that everybody's treated equally.
Yep.
And that we don't have police brutality. especially if you're the police, you gotta agree with that message.
Right.
And so, and the last thing is that a lot of people have a wrong impression of cops. They think, for example, we're against cops. That's crazy. We've talked about it a million times. We want better training for cops because there are cops, and we want them to protect the community, all of the community, and we want them trained better to do that so they don't shoot as quickly, etc. Right? And then some on the right think, oh, the cops don't like you guys. I'm sure that's true for some of the cops, but that's actually not at all true for a lot of the cops. Mm-hmm. I know from my personal life, I mean, cops are shouting out at me all the time. But not in that way. No. So, and they'll be like, hey, Young Turks, hey, I watched your show. Hey, keep going. In DC, in New York, in LA, in DC, when I got arrested for civil disobedience to get money out of politics, as I was going to do the paperwork, one of the cops was like, Young Turks, keep it going. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want him going to somebody else's house and saying that because that would be political, right? But so, not all cops are alike. That's ridiculous way of thinking on either side, right?
Right.
It's great. I love to see them doing this, saying we're against police brutality. I wish the department was a little bit more understanding of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one comment in regard to cops liking us or not liking us. It's not our job to care about cops liking us, right? It's our job to do the best we can with these stories and be honest with you guys and give you the facts. But I have a tremendous amount of respect for the cops that, you know, watch the show, see some of the criticisms that we've had in regard to police training, and they've been, you know, receptive to it and understanding. So much love to them. All right, moving on to something completely different. College basketball drama, that's what's happening right now. Bribes, corruption, a lot of shady dealings. And apparently a bunch of people have been charged in a federal corruption case. Let me give you the details. The people implicated in this case involve coaches at Auburn, Oklahoma State, Arizona, and Southern California. And they were all accused of accepting bribes in exchange for offering to steer players to preferred financial advisors, business managers, and agents. Now, the attorney who is essentially investigating this case had a press conference where he kind of specified, you know, the weight of these charges. So I want to just quickly show you that video and then I'll fill in the blanks.
Coaches at some of the nation's top programs soliciting and accepting cash bribes. Managers and financial advisors circling blue chip prospects like coyotes. And employees of one of the world's largest sportswear companies secretly funneling cash to the families of high school recruits. In all, we have charged 10 people in 3 separate complaints. 4 college basketball coaches, 3 people associated with professional managers and advisors, and 3 with ties to the major's sportswear company, including its global marketing director for basketball. These men allegedly participated in two different but related schemes. In the first, college coaches took cash bribes from managers and advisors in exchange for directing players and their families to those bribers. In the second scheme, managers, advisors, and those affiliated with the sportswear company worked together to funnel money to families of some of the country's top high school recruits, upwards of $100,000, for the player's commitment to play for the schools sponsored by that company.
Okay, so that's what's going on. Keep in mind that these players are not allowed to get paid while they're in college. They're not considered professional athletes. This whole situation is frustrating because a lot of people make a lot of money off of these athletes, but they're not allowed to make any money. And then there is, you know, this shady stuff going on behind the scenes to try to ensure that the talented players go to these specific universities and that they sign with specific brands. In this case, Adidas. A top Adidas executive and 2 associates were accused of arranging illicit payments for high school stars and their families to secure athlete commitments to Adidas-sponsored schools.
So first reaction is relieved to find out the Justice Department's still working. So, and I say that not in regards to busing the players or even the coaches, but there was a company involved, Adidas.
Yeah.
And they still actually did an investigation and got him. And look, even under Obama, that didn't happen that often, or not as often as it should have. And under Trump, we just did a story yesterday where it was in regards to banks and not sneaker companies, but they were basically like, we're just gonna let them police themselves.
Right.
So when you see the Justice Department doing a good investigation, finding out something going wrong, bribery, and actually doing something about it, I felt like, yes, okay, a little bit of justice. And it's amazing how lucrative these deals are, because in just one of the incidents, an assistant coach got $91,500 to direct the players to a financial advisor. So that financial advisor is gonna make so much more money off those players later that the $91,000 is a small percentage to give. And that was just one of the bribes to that guy. So there's a lot of money at stake here, which then finally leads me to the point that Anna was making, which is that it's outrageous that they're not making money in the first place, which leads to problems like this.
Right.
Because there's so much money to be had here that if you bottle it up and you make it illegal, it's gonna just flow out in terms of bribery, etc. So look, I know what a lot of guys think. What difference does it make? They're gonna go to the NBA and make millions anyway. No, not all of them. So the NCAA's profit and the college's profit and CBS and all the other networks profit from all their play, and only a small percentage of those guys make it to the NBA. Those guys provided entertainment and didn't get paid anything for it. The scholarships are great, wonderful, but it's not fair. They didn't get the salaries that they could have gotten if it was a professional sport. And even for the guys who make it, some of them get injured.
Right.
So they spent their best years in college and they never got paid for it.
Exactly. So many people are making money off of them. And yeah, scholarships are great if you want to go to college for free and that was what your objective was, right? But for a lot of them, their goal is to be in the NBA. And in this case, it's just, the whole thing is annoying and crazy. And I get that they make a lot of money for the schools. However, it also costs the schools a lot of money, especially when you consider how much the head coaches make and all that. Anyway, we gotta go.
All right, guys, much love. Wolf-pack.com/wedding, already 3,000 raised. More soon. Bye-bye.